Welcome back to Cloak and Dagger. I'm Lenny Bloom. Once again, we're here to scrape the bullshit off the truth and talk to those in occupied America. We're on the phone with Captain May of Ghost Troop. Captain May, it's an honor to have you back here at Cloak and Dagger.
Well, Lenny, it's a pleasure to be back here. It's always in the most difficult and dangerous times that we seem to get through to the Cloak, and we do our best briefings there. Right now we have a public affairs announcement and a following briefing that's going to be of great importance to everybody in America. And, in fact, we're issuing a worldwide red alert, but it focuses on the American nation, which we think the Bush administration is setting up for the second 9/11 attack, which we are using as a target the up to and including the five-year anniversary of 9/11 to come, what, 1 week from tomorrow, Monday of next week.
And since they've clicked on the MP3, they should, while they're listening to us, click on the link to your article at thepriceofliberty.org, Red Alert 9/11/06, Chicago, Detroit, and Houston by Captain May, a four-square analysis, the who and why. It's a great article.
Well, I thank you. It's going to, The Price of Liberty is a great place for it to be published because that quote comes from American writer Wendell Phillips, who says, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. So it was a real nice place to publish the article. It's also going to be running tomorrow in the Lone Star Iconoclast, which will be read by Congress. It's a paper that goes to a great amount of the radical or left-of-center Democratic insiders in Washington, D.C. So if they're going to do it, they're going to do it with us publishing in advance that they're up to it. You want to go ahead and get into what they're going to do then, which is the three cities. Lenny, we'll get into all the numerics and talk about all the things that make the Cloak interviews with Ghost Troop, I think, the best of us and the best of you. But first,
well,
let's just go.
You tell us, you start off and you explain that America's divided into three equal parts. Why don't you explain the three parts?
Okay, thanks. The four-square analysis basically does the power dynamic of contemporary American society. One-third of the public just doesn't like Bush because they think he's messed up. Nothing personal. They don't trust him, though. They want to get out of Iraq, and they want to stay out of Iran. The second part is the people like us, Lenny, who have awakened. And they're another third. So the second third of America is what the media calls conspiracy theorists because our theory is, yes, there's been a conspiracy, the 9/11 conspiracy. That third wants the president removed. And if everything stays the way it is staying, that third is growing.
Yeah, a conspiracy that became a practical cabal and got played out.
Sure. Oh, no, the words conspiracy theorists have been manufactured to make anybody who doesn't agree with the official story as presented by the official media seem to be crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have to get past the ideas of what they say even hurts us anymore.
That's
right.
Anyone
who doesn't have the theory that there's been a conspiracy is an idiot at this point.
Yeah, well, we study the state secrets that the shadow government, the ruling elite, and above hope you don't learn. It's right under your nose. Go ahead.
Well, the third part of American society, again, we have those who don't like Bush. Then we have those who hate Bush because they know about 9/11. The third part is the people who love Bush, and the neocons do their thinking. So those are the three parts. The neocon radical one-third, that's their fascists whom, of course, they disguise by calling their enemies fascists. So that's the third right now that the neocons are counting on to pull this off for them, their operators and their leaders. So right now we're at a point in history where that third is going to totally lose power because one-third of the country hates him, one-third of the country still loves him, and then the middle third doesn't like him. There is no other supportive part except for the one-third that loves him. It loves Bush. They follow the leader. They're the people who always follow the leader. They exist in every nation.
Yep.
Every nation that goes to war creates a nationalist party. The Nazis did it with their brown shirts. The Republicans do it with their neocons.
Yeah, absolutely.
The neocons do it with the
really
Republicans. Let's turn it around.
The
neocons did it first. The Republicans are the party they used.
Well, of course, it's always been the middle ground that the power structure is misleading in order to gain support.
Yeah, well, it's like judo or martial arts, Lenny. You know, I teach taekwondo, and these are basic concepts. Who controls the center? You know, and if you can't control two-thirds, here's the deal. To express the whole power dynamic, if you've lost two-thirds of the country, you better engineer another 9/11 or you're lost.
Well, let's go into
they're running out of gas, man.
Yeah, and let's go into the meat of your story. Let's talk about the. You talk about how they used the Al Qaeda threat in the two elections. It's all manipulation of the minds and hearts of the people using the media, correct?
Oh, well, yeah, from top to bottom. The media is there to carry the official story, and the official story supports the establishment of new terror things. You know, Lenny, people are waking up that military exercises were going on when they did 9/11. The military exercises were practicing the exact scenario of 9/11.
Tavistock without walls, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, now we've gone to the point that we understand they were carrying out the exercises that were supposed to prevent a 9/11 as the perfect cover for actually carrying out 9/11.
Yeah, exactly.
In the same way that in the UK on 7/7. The London bombings, police just happened to be carrying out subway bombings, London bombings drills. In other words, the drills set up the attacks.
But
the media cycle, the media cycle is that government tells media, we're about to be attacked. Media tells the people, you're about to be attacked.
Yeah.
The government says, we're protecting you from the attack, so we're doing exercises.
Yep.
Then the government attacks and says it was a terrorist. There's the whole anatomy of the false flag process with the government, the people, and the media explained.
And the thing is this, though, that I think it's important to realize that the false flag can become a false flag squared. In other words, they may use the exercise not ever to go live, but to disguise some other operation.
Right. Well, there can be concurrent exercises. But let's go ahead and go into the main ones that we're alerting people to now. We're coming up on the fifth anniversary of 9/11, and Lenny and I will talk a little bit about encryption and coding after I get through the actual cities. But since we are coming up on the fifth anniversary of 9/11, there are three dates and three cities that are in danger. The first is Chicago, which on the 9/7 day, that's Thursday, on 9/7, Chicago is going to be having a terror drill practice. They're going to be practicing, Lenny. They're back to that same old stuff where they're monkeying around around the Sears Tower, and the Sears Tower people are swearing that, oh no, we're not involved at all, which makes me think they're utterly involved altogether. So they're rehearsing that. Now, the Chicago, you'll remember, now this story, by the way, is being carried in the Chicago papers.
Yeah.
The Chicago cops are telling folks, you know, and the papers are telling people, they're going to have freak emergency major drills, simulating all kinds of terror things. Can't even tell you in advance. It's supposed to be a surprise, and there's supposed to be a lot of suspense. And I'm thinking, my God, that their own destruction is being rationalized to them, which is, of course, what the media is there to do. Now, Lenny, you remember this summer when the 7/11 attacks happened in Mumbai, India, although I like to call them the Bombay bombings. The 7/11 Bombay bombings were the same day that Chicago had that freak train derailment. Do you remember back in a tunnel in Chicago on 7/11, July 11th? In other words, they were part of the same terror sequence that involved blowing up trains in India. And the first thing the people in Chicago thought when that happened was, my God, we're going to be blown up too, because they thought they were another train attack. The first train attack happened that morning in Bombay or Mumbai. And they also thought backwards that they were going to become another London bombing, because there's another train type thing. So Chicago people have already been staked out and designated. The military continues to run these exercises. Lenny, you and I remember doing a briefing in May when Mayor Daley had run off to Israel and was hiding out with Israeli security, and the federal government under Chertoff was practicing taking down the Sears Tower. Except it was, if we hadn't exposed that exercise, who knows what would have happened. But you remember how we saw them setting that up totally, how the media did everything all the way to having that May Day march by the Hispanic laborers. You remember that?
Exactly.
They brought them to Chicago. They had the whole nation looking at Chicago like the navel of the nation. You know, we were looking at our belly button at Chicago on May 1st, and those devils had set up secret exercises to take down the Sears Tower from May 2nd through 4th.
Well,
now that's the media supporting the script. And where's the mayor? In Israel, hiding out with the security force.
And
who on earth wants us to have another 9/11 more than anybody, but brother? Israel.
Well,
if you're a friend of Israel, don't say anything to spoil the surprise, because America really needs to have it. Remember what Bush says? Our psyche is being stressed. We need to get our psyche right, so we need another 9/11. So Chicago's number one target, man. There's no way around it. 9-7 is their exodus.
It's just as if the country's been put up for sale and parts have already been sold off.
Well, that's exactly what has happened. That's why they have to go through with this. They have to go through with the operation because they've all bartered their souls to the devil on this, man. Everybody's involved in high treason, brother. So that right now, the only way out of this is more high treason. It's like an Agatha Christie murder story, where at the end, they start getting real sloppy in the murders to cover up the early ones.
Yeah.
They're rushing through it, man. So 9-7, by the way, 9-7 is also a primary vote down here. There are elections or primaries in various states across America. So they can do something and say, if they do it on 9-7, that it was part of a 9-7 terror, election terror. Which they love to do. Remember, the 3/11 bombings in Madrid were done to influence the elections. And in 2004, they started floating around the story that Al-Qaeda was going to hit us by the elections, the presidential elections of 2004. You may remember that.
Yeah.
So election terror, remember, right now their biggest problem on earth is the elections. If they can't do something to terrify the public into joining that one-third of people who love Bush, or at least follow Bush, then Bush is going to wind up having questions asked, man. They can't answer those questions. They cannot let the elections go through without doing something.
That's
so
right.
So 9-7 Chicago.
That's right. The beast will not give up power for principle.
Now, they've gone on a three-day sequence. There are three target days we're working, 9-7, 9-9, 9-11. We'll get to the others. First, Detroit. Detroit has games, military exercises, again, simulating the exact same kind of thing. Tunnel explosions, building collapses. They were practicing building collapses up there in the spring. I got that for some military contacts. So they're practicing this full, it's like they're practicing a package of options for when Bush decides he wants to do it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, their exercises start the day after Chicago's in. Chicago has one-day exercises on Thursday, the 7th. Detroit goes into action Friday and Saturday, so they're having exercises the 8th and the 9th. Same thing. Biggest exercises ever in the Midwest, I think. I mean, Liddy, they may have 5,000 people mobilized for this thing. They may have 10,000. I mean, it might be 1,000. You know, I don't know, but the article, and of course, all these things will be linked through the cloak, which links to my article on the Red Alert. All these links are there. The newspaper articles are there, folks.
So Captain May, you're saying that they're giving it all an amber over green light right now?
Oh, I think
the whole things are all the terror squads are staged in the sidings in amber over green lights, waiting for green over green.
Yeah, that's right, man. It's like drag racing.
Yeah, they're drag racing. Come
on.
Haven't
you noticed this guy's been walking around leering?
Captain, I think it's
leering and threatening and smirking.
Captain, you're just upsetting Her Majesty terrible with all the things you're saying. It's a very upsetting thing, and you should stop.
Well, if with any luck, ma'am, we'll have another 911, and they can lock up conspiracy theories like me and Lenny Bloom.
There's nothing wrong with asking all Americans and the colonists to leave my state of Kentucky alone.
All right, well, listen up. We're going to get there in just a second. All right. So we've got Bush going crazy like he's really got 911 fever. He's been threatening people this last week. They've used their final protective line, Lenny, which is to call everybody else a Nazi. The only thing, when you've gone to the point they're actually having to call people Nazis to cover up the fact that they're the Nazis, then it's getting pretty close to coming out that they're the Nazis. Now everybody they called a Nazi or a appeaser is going to say that they're one.
Well, that's who the forest men in the forests of North America, they fought against the Nazis in 1776.
Okay. Okay, last city, Lenny. If they get, so we got Chicago, 9-7, Detroit, 9-8, and 9. And then we come down to the idea that this may be a five-year plan.
All right, let's talk about the five-year plan.
Say again?
That's very Soviet, and that makes sense because Kalugin is in charge of Homeland Security.
Right. Not only you say Kalugin, Chertoff is a name down here. So
another guy. That's right.
Michael Chertoff down here runs that for Bush, and yeah, the interesting thing is that if it's a 5-year plan, if 9/11 was a 5-year cycle in which everything was going to be set up. that it may well be that if they don't fulfill the terms of 9/11, the devil's pact, in 5 years, it's all over. So you'll, for instance, that means they have to have one what's called final protective line. They've got
to
have
5 year plans. You know who makes 5 year plans.
They've got to have one final target, and one target that they're going to go to if all else fails. So if they've got exercises 9/7, 9/8, and 9/9, we should guess that there's something going on somewhere set for 9/11, because that's a 5 year anniversary exactly. And they've been building up the terror cycle. Just today, you know, we had Azam, the American Al-Qaeda, play on TV. It's like a wrestling match, man. They played an American Al-Qaeda saying we better convert. And, of course, the news media interpreted that as meaning they're about to hit us.
Does Bush have a deep enough centerboard on his ship in order to withstand a hell of a blow on his sails?
Well, we're trying to see right now, Lenny. That's why we're linked up with the cloak to put out this red alert and national briefing, international briefing.
We've got to chop off George Bush's centerboard.
Well, right now, his centerboard focuses...
We put him in the drink.
The final target, if it gets to 9/11, we're saying they're going to try to hit Houston. Lenny, you and I have run, I think, three of the Ghost Troop 4 missions involving Houston area petrochemical targets, every one of which has been correct in its prediction, have all been run through cloak and dagger. So what we found is that the psyche that the media attributes to Al-Qaeda, which is that Al-Qaeda always returns to the targets it missed, that's really just their way of trying to rationalize the way these plans work. Once the government has bought and paid for a city, they bought up the police and the press and the professors and the politicians. Once they've done all that, they keep the target zone open until they can do the attack. So given that they've missed Houston 4 times, on the one hand you can say they've missed Houston 4 times, they wouldn't dare. But on the other hand, heck, they were willing to come back after they missed it 3 times, 2 times, and 1 time, right?
I think they got to get that shuttle shot down again over Texas where Crawford is so it lands on Bush's head.
Well, that may be in the plan. Let's hope. Anyway, so Houston is the final target. We're saying that if everything goes to 9/11, Houston is in great danger. The media down here has been setting up the story that Al-Qaeda is in the area. We all know that Al-Qaeda has been set up to be the enemy who wants to blow up our petrochemical places, our ports. So we're still keeping Houston and the southeast Texas area, the petrochemical, the oil giant's backyard, under red alert. You know, Lenny, that's where ExxonMobil, where they had the 7-2, the July 2nd explosion that set records with world oil prices. I think it pushed oil to 80 for the first time in history. That was staged. And we predicted it, Lenny. Remember, that was the July 4th weekend.
Yeah.
And before that, it was Texas City, British Petroleum. What? Once, twice, but 3 times blew up. All on coded dates.
Yeah.
Always on coded dates.
And you know, two guys really are big guys behind this, and it's Brzezinski and Kissinger. Let's not kid ourselves, eh?
Well, it's a grand geopolitical
chess. They show up on CNN all the time. I mean, descendants of Bernard Lewis.
Well, you know,
and the whole British desk. He's a knight. He's a Hofjuden knight.
That's true. It's the British Yiddish Axis.
It's a Hofjuden, the British Hofjuden knights.
That's true. But it's British Yiddish. Hey, man, look, this whole thing really, you know what impresses me about this war plan? This whole thing we're having is the New American Century, right? This whole thing was set up by the document, Project for New American Century. It was the New American Century. Look, Lenny, they're so uncreative that they actually copycatted the Nazis. Because what did the Nazis have? The thousand-year Reich, right? This whole thing is a copycat Reich. I mean, you know, it's just a geostrategic world dominance war plan, not a particularly good one.
No.
Because it's based on the idea that they'll continue to be able to kill enough Americans to be able to blame it on Muslims. That's the heart of this war plan. They set the Muslims up to be the Jews of America, where, you know, the way the Jews were the suspect class in Germany, and that allowed them to have a national paranoia. Well, the Muslims are the suspect class in America, and that allows us to have a national paranoia. The only thing that's ironic, of course, is that Jewish interests run the media that portrays Muslims as the new Jews. It's a great act. The new Pearl Harbor says it, man, that we set up 9/11 like Hitler set up a Reichstag fire. Yeah. Hitler had a, what, five-year enabling act for the protection of the German people? Well, Bush had a five-year Patriot Act for the protection of the American people. We didn't rescind our Patriot Act? You're right. Hitler didn't rescind his enabling act. Hitler set up, a Gestapo, which was really just state secret police, to protect the Reich? Well, Bush set up Homeland Security, Homeseca, and put it under a Jewish Michael Chertoff, whose dad's a rabbi, for God's sake. I mean, JFK ran for president down here, and people asked him if he might be taking orders from the Pope. It didn't make you anti-Catholic to say that. Well, is it wrong to ask if Chertoff, who's also alleged to have dual citizenships in Israel, is he working for them?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. I don't think there's any doubt that...
The neocons are, man. They're the Israel-first American Jews. That's who makes up the neocons. Look, there's one thing that's for sure at this point, Lenny. You know,
well, the city that sits on seven hills, and as the Bible says, and the popish persons obviously are the people who keep us in the dark, as it says in the Bible. So there's no mystery here anymore.
No, that's all true. So this whole thing has been set up like a Third Reich. The whole plan is a Third Reich.
Yes.
It is so similar to the Third Reich. Well, Lenny, there's only one reason on earth they could have done it. You know what it is?
Yeah. British Hofjuden Knights of Malta.
The only reason folks are getting away with this is because for the last 60 years, internationally, the only people who've been able to say what was or was not Nazi, Second World War, or racist was the Jewish intelligentsia. And they've wrapped protection against anyone ever thinking that they could be behind the establishment of a Reich. But the thing is so clearly set up on the Reich pattern that... To avoid saying this, Lenny, it's been 5 years, okay? 5 years since 9/11, okay?
Yeah.
Can we get past the point that we have to feel guilty identifying the ethnicity or religious background of people who are trying to kill us? Isn't that what they tell us every day, that Arab Muslims are trying to kill us? Well, if Arab Muslims are trying to kill us, good. If Jewish Zionists are trying to kill us...
I think you got to ignore what they say and look at how they act, and you got the USS Cole and all 9/11.
Oh, there's the Liberty.
Hello?
Yeah. No, it takes us back to the Liberty.
These events are just there to connect the dots.
You see, the great dots that have to be connected in this area are that the reason we're taught to hate Arab Muslims as terrorists is because it makes it impossible for us to think the Jewish Zionists are the terrorists. But right now, that's simply the case. So that if you say Arab terrorist, you think you're having a breakfast conversation that you could have with your preacher. But if you say Jewish Zionist, you feel like you're a shameful being who's doing the worst thing in the world.
Well, it's the Zionazis.
But the Arab terrorists that they talk about is the same thing as the Jewish terrorists I'm talking about. As a matter of fact, it's not even anti-Semitic to talk about Jewish Zionists or Arab Muslims, because the fact of the matter is that both are Semitic.
It's this heavily tribal racial gang, thugs.
That's it. On all sides, brother, and there's the truth of it. The fact of the matter is they're having a family quarrel in the Middle East and they want to pull our ass into it.
Exactly.
In fact, they didn't pull us into it. They shoved us in the butt with 9/11. They shoved that right up our butt and did it to us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a simple fact, man. How nice do people want me to be about this? But anyway, so that's all coming up. The fifth anniversary is coming up.
Yeah.
It's a five-year plan. By the way, how many sides on the Pentagon? Five. I got a feeling that's a military, you know, it's a devil's pact, man.
Of course it's devils. Remember, it's the center of the devil's star. If you make a devil's star and take out the lines, you're left with the Pentagon.
Well, and the same, yeah, exactly.
The Pentagon is the center of the devil's star. It's got five sides.
Well, the fact of the matter, with the symbology is all there. The five-year plan seems to be there. We have inferred that there is a five-year plan. And that construct means that time is running out very rapidly for that five-year plan. Now, Lenny, let's go do some numbers for a minute, can we?
Yeah.
You and I have noticed that last week, Bush came out, Rumsfeld came out, Cheney came out. Everybody came out breathing fire, threatening people, calling foreigners fascists, and calling Americans wimps, right? Appeasers, defeatists. So they're leading straight ahead. Daddy Bush and Sonny Boy Bush did a picture together when Bush was up in Kennebunkport last weekend, where they're going a zillion miles an hour in a speedboat, like an attack boat out of the Pacific, and Daddy Bush is driving. That shows you that the Bush power structure is behind this next move. You know, that's the iconography of it. Just, this is the same stuff we used to do in, when we were, I was Army Intelligence doing the Soviets. It's the kind of stuff we'd look for on the front page of Pravda, right?
Right.
Then what happened was a big thing. We detected, Ghost Troop detected, and internationally published the occurrence of the exercises in Chicago, and we started issuing a red alert. What happened next may have been pre-planned, or it might have been a warning to Bush, but now we come to 916. Lenny, this will be the first number we'll actually take and decrypt. 916, think of it in your mind, folks. We've all heard of 69, ha, 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 which is like, never mind. But the point is, 96
well,
is
no,
the same
no, no, no,
I
think you, to kill it, you have to define it. Certainly 69 is a, it became a symbol of our Babylonish nature in that a number took on a sexual act position, period.
If you turn it sideways, it becomes Pisces, I believe. It's an astrological sign.
Right.
So the point is, it's a mirroring sign. 96 is the same thing. This is going to be, we're all going to, everything we're going to talk about now, this whole month of September, is 9. In the same way, 9/11 was real powerful. It was the emergency number. It was sequential, odd numbers, 9, then 11. You know, there's all kinds of mumbo-jumbo. And
yeah,
I always,
could I just interrupt you and say parenthetically, it's a good time just to mention something that you do mention rather well, and that is that it's not that this is something that you think is a pattern that you ascribe to things, but you follow those who, like Skull and Bones 322 secret societies, they do operate according to a numeric schedule and harmonics. So is that
right.
You know what I'm saying? Do you want to just
reiterate
exactly. That
is,
point?
Hey, it's their language, not mine.
Exactly.
It's a code. Code is nothing but a language.
Right.
And the most common kind of code is numeric. When I was in the Army, you know, at, God knows, for three different decades I served in the Army, we always had encryption manuals. You know, you always have encryption books. I mean,
sure.
A sergeant, lieutenant, or a captain could wind up signing for the code book.
Yeah.
Codes are always used so that you can carry meaning and make plans without the enemy being alerted. If you're carrying out a conspiracy against your own people to do things like, oh, I don't know, set them up to mass murder them and take them to World War III, you got to have a secret mechanism for doing so. You got to have codes. Now, everybody knows, Lenny, that in World War II, since all of a sudden these idiots are talking about World War II, which I think means they're running out of gas because people are going to realize they're the Nazis, but since they started talking about World War II, let's realize in World War II, everybody embedded messages into the media. I bet everybody listening to me right now can remember movies that they have seen about how, you know, we will blow up the bridge when the fifth bar of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony is played. You know, I mean, and these things are set up in advance. We all know that.
That's right. It appears esoteric, but it's not.
It's very common. It's just that you're not supposed to think that your family does it.
That's right.
You know? My grandfather, rest in peace, if you brought a pretty girl around him, he'd say, oh, she's so sweet, she don't crap, she just honeys.
It's another example of how the media is used for propaganda purposes.
Yeah, well, Grandpa would say she's so sweet, she doesn't crap, she just honeys, because the idea was, if you got a girlfriend, that's what you think. You think all the best things about her.
Yeah.
But any other girl on earth, you realize they're just people. Well, in the same way, that's how you feel about your nation. You don't think your nation could be doing things like encrypting your media with code to use against you and set you up. But it's exactly what all the countries in the world have done for all history, and no one in America ever had a hard time believing that other countries acted that way. We knew they were no good.
Exactly.
Well, we're the same way. We just have, it's hard to think about ourselves. So anyway, what we find is that there are codes and sequences. Lenny and I talk about them often. We call it the embedded code. But Lenny, I think I'm going to start shifting now. I think I'm going to start calling it the Al-Qaeda code.
Yeah, that's very good, Al-Qaeda. Well,
it is.
The Al-CIA, Al-CIA.
Yeah, well, Al-Qaeda being Al-CIA, duh, right. But it's the Al-Qaeda code. It's the code that governs Al-Qaeda. The nice thing about this is, even if you don't believe in a word of what I'm going to say about the government setting this up, the code still works if you think it's Al-Qaeda. So everyone out there knows that they did Madrid on 3/11/2004, and they did Bombay on 7/11/2006, and they did 9/11 on, gee golly, 9/11.
Yeah.
So, boy, it almost seems like Al-Qaeda has a code.
Connect the dots, folks.
We could play with this forever.
Of course,
London on 7/7, which is 7 times 11, which is the number of Bombay.
Of course, Wolf Blitzer blitzes the truth and disconnects the dots so you don't see the obvious pattern. By distracting your attention with crap like JonBenet murders sorts of deceptions.
Thank God you brought it up, Lenny. You gave me a chance. I said there are three endangered cities, and there are Chicago, then Detroit, then Houston, between now and 9/11. Well, there are three Jewish Zionist journalists I want to zap right here and now, and you mentioned one of them. Wolf Blitzer, look, here's the thing about him. He's coded, man. His name is a code. You realize that's his handle. That's not his real name.
Of course not.
That was, you know, Irving Metzelbaum or some such thing. Who knows?
Of course.
But hey, they don't put those kind of
Stone Cold Steve Austin. They're just characters.
Well, that's the point. It's a code name. Wolf Blitzer. Wolf is a Teutonic. You know, Hitler was obsessed with wolves.
The Wolf Pack. The Wolf Pack.
And the Blitz. In other words, it's a Nazi
Blitzkrieg. Game, Blitzkrieg.
Now that we're talking about World War II, things will start becoming clear. Why on earth does a Jewish journalist name himself Wolf Blitzer, which is one than two names that both belong to German Nazi kind of stuff? And the answer is because they see power in acting like Nazis. Want another? Michael Savage. You ever heard of him?
Michael Savage. No.
Radio Shock Jock. He's nationwide down here. Has a show called Savage Nation.
Wow.
Okay, he's not... His name indicates it's a code name. He's a Jewish Zionist, very proud Jewish Zionist, who routinely, Independence Day, I'm listening to this guy. Look, anybody who thinks I sound outrageous, turn on Michael Savage, and you'll hear somebody say, we need to nuke the Arabs. I mean, if you think that he won't say it the way I say it, you're right. He'll say it dirtier than that. We need to nuke the Arabs, he will tell you. We need to send them back to the 7th century. In other words, it's coming out over the air in the open, man. I'm going to give you one last one. Code name. Remember, these are code names. Michael Savage, Wolf Blitzer. Last one, Charles Krauthammer. Have you heard of Krauthammer?
Oh, for sure.
He's a big-time neocon, buddy of Bill Kristol and all the other Jewish neocons. Now think about it. This guy's a Jewish cripple. I mean, look, not my problem. The brother's got a problem. He's crippled. Okay? So what does he do to compensate for this? Well, he's... Charles Krauthammer. Kraut is a German slur, right? The Krauts?
Yeah.
And then the hammer, like Nietzsche again. These are Nietzschean things, like Wolf Blitzer.
Exactly.
Nietzsche, philosophize with hammer blows.
Now you're waxing philosophical, Captain May.
Well, we're going to the later part of the interview. All the kids went to bed when we scared them with 9/11 possibilities for Chicago, Detroit, and Houston. This is the grown-up stuff. These guys, in other words, the entire media is coded. The entire media is part of a propaganda apparatus.
Exactly.
So let's, within that context that we've defined, now we're showing a much nastier, dirtier game than the people are allowed to see. The people see what's called newsroom bunnies. They see girls who can read teleprompters and
Yeah, bunny rabbits. They just sit there and read. They're talking heads, reading heads.
They're media whores. They look like the kind of chick you'd like to meet.
Yeah.
That's what their job is, man.
Yeah.
I mean, look, brother, I don't want to be offensive. It's just that people are trying to kill us, so I got to call things by their true nature right now. I'll say everything polite if we get through this period and we overthrow the government and reestablish the republic. But for right now, I'm going to call things right what they are. So what we see is a pattern of all these people working together, like the courts of medieval Europe, setting up power schemes and carrying them. We got a big signal the first day of August. First day of September, rather, 9/1. That's what, and all these September dates are going to be like parentheses. Every one of them is going to start with a 9 because it's September, and it's going to end with a 6, which is 2006, the year number. So you have a kind of a 69 variant, a 96. It's a mirror number, very powerful number. Now throw a parallel in the middle, and you have 9/11/6. That's why this 9/11, in a cult sense, Which is what they do. They use cult numerology. Cult, by the way, just means hidden, folks. It's cultic.
Yeah.
It's Latin for hidden. Crypto is Greek for hidden. So this is cult stuff or crypto stuff. So 9/11/6 becomes a perfect inversion number where it flips back over. So basically we have a window that opens 9/1/6. You see, the 9/1/6 is just one stick between a 9 and 6, and the 9/11/6 is just two sticks between a 9 and 6, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you've got like a 10-day, an 11-day spread in there. It's 11 days from 9-1 to 9-11. And if you exclude 9-1 and 9-11 and measure the days between, there are 9 days between 9-1 and 9-11. Very nice numeric window, you'd have to say, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. We went into action before that window opened on 8/31 and published an international article busting Bush for trying to set this up. On 9/1, that may have caused what was probably the most shocking thing that's happened in years, which was that all of a sudden the media started saying that there was going to be a new movie released. And the movie is Death of a President, about the assassination of George W. Bush. I think that this is so much a five-year plan, Lenny, that I think this guy had a five-year ticket. And I think if he doesn't get 9/1, the next 9/1 carried out, I think he's going to get carried out. Yeah. That's where I think things are, man. I think that's what the movie was intended to say. And they said it very clearly on the first day of this 11-day spread between 9/1/6 and 9/1/6. So that's, remember that? We were talking about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did a briefing with a cloak that day. And Lenny, I did a briefing with you because we'd come out with the article a day or two before. And of course, you know, actions that we have done have resulted in calling off all kinds of exercises.
Well,
even in mid-course.
Yeah, and I like to add the quote from Henry Mackow when he said, "Hello, can a man hold any public office, let alone the most important, and belong to a secret society? If this society were benign, would it have to be secret?"
That's a superb observation, and it look, the conspiracy of secret societies in connection with Zionist Jews to set the United States on a course to becoming a new Reich, to start a new world war, is an indictment of the entire power structure of the American elite. And the secret societies are damned for this. They've damned themselves. And of course, Lenny, they know all this.
Yeah, exactly.
They know all this, which is why they're all working together as hard as they can to carry out this attack before 9/11/2006. That's why, you know, everything we're saying now is just more confirmation of the analysis and prediction, which Ghost Troop and Cloak and Dagger, I believe we're issuing that jointly as of now, aren't we?
Yeah, and I want to add the quote from David Rockefeller that I have on Cloak and Dagger, speaking at the Business Council for the UN, September 14th, 1994, and I quote, "We are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order."
Of course. This is all deep-laid stuff. The thing that's important to think about the secret societies is that when the best way of summing them up is calling them the Masons. And I don't mean your Uncle Albert, you know, the Mason down the next to the Lions Club in the local area. I'm talking about the grand masters, the people who run these organizations, who people like Masons in your family, or if there were Masons in my family. I don't think your family and my family was ever part of the big picture.
No, I can tell you that they were not part of any secret societies.
Well, the big people though, what they do is the same way that there was at one time a lore of how to put together very complicated things like cathedrals or temples or pyramids. They've built that lore into, which is, you know, the way the Egyptians did that is by numbers, by ratios, by proportions. It's the way all architects and masons do it. It's the secret of the craft. And that's the point. They are masters of the craft, and the craft, it's like witchcraft, except that it involves numbers, corruption, and murder. They use numbers to carry a code. They corrupt and control people, and if they really have to, they kill people.
Well,
they don't like to kill people because it's bad business and it's dangerous.
Right.
They're like the mafia.
It is the mafia. The human race is run by its mafia.
Yeah, I guess that's always been the case. Well, we got to throw this bunch of psychos out, and I'm sure that as soon as we do, a new group of psychos will begin to nurture itself in our bosom. But this is it's like the Lord of the Rings, man. In fact, somebody was quoting that to great effect in Ghost Troop today. That, you know, these are cycles. These are destruction cycles.
Yeah.
It's not accidental. There's been 3 years since World War II. They're ready to do World War III. Look, the Bush people made their living off World War II. You know that, Lenny. Prescott Bush.
Yeah.
Grandpa
Bush. Well,
as Bush.
I say on Cloak and Dagger on the right-hand side, you know, it's basically, it says, remember when war profiteering was a crime.
That's the point. There's never been a family who
no
better
longer
was
a
able
crime
to
be a war profiteer.
There's never been a family more capable of representing war profiteering and the engineering of war for profiteering than the Bush family.
That's right.
And that's what they've done.
Yeah.
And all the, if you look at, what you got to do is look at the areas of the economy, the U.S. economy, and see who's made the most money to understand who the allies were. You know what the sectors of the U.S. economy, the industries that have made the most money are? Number three, coming in at number three, going to the top, number three was defense industries. That surprised me. I thought it'd be number one.
Now, the old military-industrial complex.
Number two was oil. Now, that doesn't surprise me, except that I thought it'd be number one when I thought about it.
Yeah.
Number one, Jewish financial sector. Now, Lenny, I can't help it, man. That's the Wall Street Journal, brother, except they don't say Jewish financial sector. I said that. I was military intelligence, not stupid.
Yeah.
You know, that's what people got to realize, because I rub a lot of people's feelings the wrong way.
Yeah.
The simple fact is I don't give a damn. I'm carrying out a public affairs mission right now as a part of a mission of conscience, because I'm trying to keep thousands of my fellow citizens from being killed, not because I'm trying to keep a few Jews from being offended.
Well, you know, Marshall McLuhan said, those conspiracies that are too incredible to be believed are by the same right those which most often succeed.
Exactly. Well, you can see right now they're setting up another attack. 9/1/6, the first day of September, they sent Bush the warning message. The movie Death of a President is now going to be shown in England and Canada. Hope it makes it down here. Might be good viewing. So he has an 11-day cycle. Since then, Lenny, today they set up what? Azam the Muslim, saying we had to convert, which means the edge of an attack. They had Al-Qaeda's number two man in Iraq, God knows. I mean, it's like they pick up some poor drunk off the street and say, you're Al-Qaeda's new number two man in Iraq. Is there an employment office for all the Al-Qaeda people? They've told us they've cowed in Iraq. So they're running the Al-Qaeda script all over the place. Bush is saying it's time for World War III. The Israelis are right now reeling because they got their ass handed to them by Hezbollah. You know, they're the laughing stock of the Middle East. These people want to get even, and that's why Bush, ever since he came back from visiting Daddy and doing the speedboat picture, watching Daddy drive the boat, he's been glowering and acting threatening. And the reason is because he got another green light, Lenny. He's got a green light, and it's going to be green unless we spread word enough that the bastards have to call it off again. And if they keep calling it off again and again and again, they're just going to cash Bush in, and it serves his ass right. He mass murdered Americans. So, Lenny, that's the state of the world the way I see it. You say you were seeing some interesting things in the paper yourself.
Yeah, I can only underline everything you've been saying. Follow the money.
Yep. So, folks, here's the big nice thing. We're calling this 911V. That V is number 5, the fifth 9/11. Now, Lenny, let's get the heavy numerological stuff. We know that we've had a 9/11 attack. The next integer attack down, the next one down is the 7/11 attack. Think of 9/7. All the way down, we have the 3/11 attack. So 9/11 New York, D.C., 7/11 Bombay, 3/11 Madrid. There's a 5/11 missing. We got 9/11, 7/11, and 3/11. So where's 5/11? We think this is it. We think the 5 is the year attack. It's the 5/11. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the hidden attack. It's the sneak attack. They got a 5/11 hidden in there. Look, if you don't believe anything else I've said, listen to this part, because this is coding class. I'm not the one who made them blow down the towers, whoever they are. If you think it's Al-Qaeda, that's fine. This is Al-Qaeda coding class. There was a 9/11 attack. That was Al-Qaeda. There was a 7/11 attack in Bombay. That was Al-Qaeda. There was a 3/11 attack in Madrid. That was Al-Qaeda. There was a 7/7 attack, 7 times 11. That was Al-Qaeda, and it was in London. There was October 19th attack, which is 1019 or 119, meaning 9/11 backwards, and that was Al-Qaeda. If you don't believe in the government and you believe it's Al-Qaeda, then help me break their code, because all their events are coded. So if you don't believe what I've said about the government setting this up, believe Al-Qaeda might. It just so happens that the fifth anniversary of the 9/11 attacks are coming up, and clearly Al-Qaeda is obsessed with numerology. Whoever you think Al-Qaeda is, right, Lenny?
That's exactly right.
This is it. Man, I used to talk to FBI about the Al-Qaeda code. I just called it the government code, so they told me to shut up and told me to go away. They hurt me. I mean, that was the first Houston mission when we found out they were trying to set up British Petroleum in Texas City. But there's been a code from the get-go, and you can use it. So the days coming up are real dangerous. Well, Lenny, let's throw one thing in. Since you brought up the New World Order, folks, to give you some example of how closely things are coded in, the New World Order began September 11th, 1990, as we had engineered an excuse to go to war in the Middle East by inviting Saddam to take Kuwait and attacking Saddam. 9/11/1990, Daddy Bush announced to Congress, I believe it was, that this was the dawn of a New World Order. 11 years later to the day, Boy George Bush, he carries out the 9/11 attack. So it's a father-to-son plan. It's 11 years to the day. Both ends of it have 9/11.
Yep.
That's an 11-year box.
This is all done at the rituals at their secret societies at Bohemian Grove in July and August.
When they
give these guys their orders years ago.
Let's take another cycle.
Deep plans.
George Tenet, CIA director. Now, they all use assumed names. George Tenet was the guy who was on duty when 9/11 happened, the guy who just didn't get word in time.
Yeah.
All right, George Tenet was brought in on 7/11, July 11th, 7/11, 1997. He left 7/11, 2004. 7 years. So we've got a 9/11 scam that's 11 years, and it goes from Daddy George announcing the New World Order to Boy George doing the 9/11 attack. Then we got a 7-year scam going with George Tenet, who comes in under
who works
Clinton.
For Daddy Bush.
Right, and by the way, he comes in for Bill
Sir
Clinton.
Sir George Herbert Walker Bush.
He comes in for Clinton and stays through Boy George Bush and oversees the whole operation. 7-year period, both ends of it starting on 7/11.
Sir Bush.
Furthermore, George Tenet in Latin, if you write it down, Lenny, I've been talking a few languages. Let me go ahead and rip a little bit out. Я могу говорить с тобой по-русски, если ты хочешь говорить со мной по-русски. Yo puedo hablar contigo en español también, si quiere. In other words, I'm a linguist. The military taught me to know languages and codes. So I know a code. It's Latin. I used to teach it. George Tenet, if you write it down, T-E-N-E-T.
Yeah.
Tenet means George controls. The name means George holds or controls. And Tenet is the George who works for George Bush.
Not George Bush. Sir George Bush. The father, daddy, Sir Bush.
Well, his name, George Tenet's name, is an assumed name, as CIA directors are, and it means George controls.
That's right.
So what it meant was the Bush people controlled the CIA.
And W is what happens when you're made a knight. They dub you. Her Majesty dubs you. And that's a play on the W of his middle name.
All these names have such tricks. And that, so, Lenny, we've got an 11-year cycle to set up the 911 preparation. We got a 7-year cycle where the CIA was controlled by the Bush family. And then, you can see, now our 5-year cycle of the post-9/11 operation is starting to make sense. The idea that they had a 5-year cycle. See what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, another thing about the September days is that 9/7, every day in September, you add the first two digits, so like 9/7. If you take 9/7 and you add the 9 to the 7, you get 16. They do that sometimes. They add the value of numbers. Now add the 1 and 6 together and you get 7. So the value of the additions of 9/7, where you add 9 to 7 and get 16 and add 1 to 6 and get 7, that's their trick, not mine. So 9/7 adds up to 7. And 9/9, 9 plus 9 is 18. 1 plus 8 is 9. 9/9 adds up to 9. And 9/11, 9 plus 1 plus 1 is 11. So 9 plus 11 adds up to 11.
Exactly.
So all the days that we've talked about being danger days, the 9/7 Chicago, 9/9 Detroit, and 9/11 Houston, all of them have strong cult numerics going on because they add up to the second day in the attack day. 9/7 equals 7, 9/9 equals 9, 9/11 equals 11. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
Real strong numeric stuff. Other things, if there were a 9/7 attack, Chicago election day, look, man, these Masons control the elections. Why do you think it is that 9/7 is when they're having primaries and the elections are going to be on... 11/7?
Captain May, I think it's time we should start wrapping it up.
Well, that's good enough, Lenny. I think that what people can see is that there are all kinds of devils loose in Dixie right now. And we're coming up on a crux. You might call it the Battle of 911-V. And for us, that V doesn't just represent the fifth 9/11, it also represents the victory. So give people the victory sign, the peace sign. I think we ought to make that our sign again. It always drives the fascists crazy. Start doing the V sign. It's the fifth 9/11, and right now the nation has been split into three parts. Two parts of the nation want to impeach the president, more or less. So if we can hold things together, come through this fifth anniversary of 9/11, and just, God willing, break their devil's pact, which may have had a five-year fuse, and after that be broken and expired. If we can do all that, we will have done a good bit of work, Lenny, and I think people in future generations will be grateful to us.
Terrific.
We're standing in the middle of history, man.
Well, give us your usual sign-off, Captain May. It's been it's just been wonderful having you bring your treasury of wisdom and knowledge, as Sherman Skolnick used to say, to the show.
Well, rest in peace, Sherman. I remember interviewing with him back in the early days, Lenny. It's always great to be on the cloak with Lenny Bloom. This is Ghost Troop Captain May, signing out from the belly of the Bush Beast, the 91106 target itself, Houston, Texas, here to the bitter end.
Thanks very much, Captain May. It's been great having you here. Just to sign off myself, I sum it up this way. At a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Truth is what someone wants to suppress. Everything else is advertising. Read it yourself instead of asking the government why, because that will cause the propaganda to die.